Hello, listeners. This is Dennis Wisco. In episode 99, you'll get to hear from Mr. Andrew Raines, the Chief Commercial Officer at Automotive Mastermind. Since I've been producing this podcast, I've had the opportunity to get to know a lot of the key individuals within this organization. And as a matter of fact, if you refer to the episode page under related episodes, you can hear some of the previous discussions I've had, for instance, with Marco Schnabel and Johanna Skinauk, the co-founders and co-CEOs of the company. Or you can hear from Steve DeWitt and Ryan Donnelly, two individuals who came from the dealership environment. And so, be it the people within the organization, the technology that underpins the company, and the resources available to them from, for instance, IHS Market, I do stand on firm ground when I share with you that automakers and retailers present a formidable front that supports the free movement of people and goods. This topic of the movement of people and goods, I won't go into great detail, but I have discussed it on previous episodes like the War on Cars on episode 73, and there will be more discussions of this topic on future episodes. So coming up next will be Andrew Raines sharing the influential individuals in his life and how we can learn the lessons of these great leaders. If you do want some actionable takeaways, have a look at the white paper included on the episode page entitled How Dealership Management Can Become Better Leaders. And lastly, these episodes featuring Automotive Mastermind would not have been possible without the help of Megan Benelli and Anne-Marie Fortunate of Franco. So thank you to those lovely ladies. Before we get to today's episode, I have a couple of announcements. On the last episode, I announced that I'm collecting book recommendations from all of you. And so far, I've received 16 book recommendations. And with all these recommendations, I do plan on putting it together so that in the year 2020, this can be on your reading list of books to follow. So if you do have a good business book, if you have a good leadership book, a professional development book that you would recommend, please send an email to bookpod@wiscoweeklypod.com. BOOKPOD, bookpod@wiscoweeklypod. And again, I will compile a list of all these books and send back out to you as your reading list for 2020. Second, there are a lot of events in November that I will be at. There is the Mobility Open Blockchain Initiative, or MOBI Colloquium, which explores the convergence of AI, Internet of Things, blockchain, mobility, and smart cities to build the minimum viable ecosystem for human mobility. Following that is CoMotion LA, which is an event that brings together the brave new world of the urban mobility revolution. Then in one of my favorite events of the year, Automobility LA, which is the press and trade show that precedes the LA Auto Show. So there will be a ton of people, including automakers, tech companies, media, designers, developers, startups, investors, dealers, and government officials at that event. And following Automobility LA, as I mentioned, then there is the LA Auto Show going on from November 22nd till December 1st. So you can visit Wisco Weekly on our Facebook page to see all these events, and be sure you do follow along so that I can be your eyes and ears for everything automotive and mobility. Now, let's get into the show.
You are now tuned in to the Wisco Weekly Experience.
Mabuhay, bienvenidos, willkommen, and welcome to Wisco Weekly. Listeners, I'm your host, Dennis Wisco, and this is the Automotive and Mobility Podcast, giving you university-like education. Listeners, don't forget that you can subscribe if you're listening to this podcast on a popular podcast app. Don't forget to subscribe. You can also check us out on YouTube. I'll be developing more video content on YouTube. And of course, most importantly, please do rate, review, and share this episode. Listeners, on Wisco Weekly, we often discuss topics related to data science and automotive technology and socioeconomic policies that affect how we move in this new world. And in this ecosystem, there are many layers and there are many, many individuals who are leading and following and reporting up the chain of command and communicating down the chain of command. And all of us constantly need some sort of self-awareness because we are dynamic individuals and we have multiple responsibilities if it is reporting to a boss at work or even reporting to our kids at home. So we need to be aware of our shortcomings and we need to be aware of our gifts and talents and be able to harness all of this so that we can endure this journey of professional and personal life. Today's episode is going to be chicken soup for the soul, or if you're like me, then it'd be Vietnamese pho for the soul. I'm hoping that for the next 30 minutes, listeners, you can slow down for a moment, find a calm and steady frame of mind, and have a listen to our guest today. What can't we say about today's guest that hasn't already been said from colleagues who admire him? 10 years ago, in 2009, he was described as demonstrating excellent sales leadership by Colin O'Reilly. His work ethic, intensity, motivation, and creativity are consistently measured at the highest levels, says Andy Shorkey. Fast forward to 2016, and Becky Loker writes, Andrew supports, motivates, coaches, and challenges the sales team while providing best-in-class management. Listeners, are you hearing the evolution of his character? Driven by the need to deliver consistent revenue results while increasing market share and increasing company value, my guest spent more than 20 years in sales and marketing with Fortune 500 companies, including Oracle, Intuit, and PeopleSoft. Most recently, he was in leadership roles at several high-growth software-as-a-service companies, including Executive Vice President of Global Sales at VTS and Chief Revenue Officer and President at Rainmaker. Currently, he serves as the Chief Commercial Officer for Automotive Mastermind, where he oversees new business, customer retention, account management, and marketing. He's responsible for aligning all departments to achieve the strategic vision of the company as a whole. He holds a Bachelor of Business Administration degree in finance from Baylor University Handcammer School of Business. Men, women, and children, please welcome to the show, Mr. Andrew Raines. Mr. Andrew Raines, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Dennis, for having me. I'm excited to be here and excited to participate and looking forward to our discussion today.
Excellent, sir. Before we get to the topic of today's discussion, how can people follow you?
Probably the best would be on LinkedIn.
Listeners, I'll put his contact info on the episode page for you to follow him. Well, so Andrew, I'm hoping that we're going to take our listeners to church today, basically. We want to get into the leadership aspect and the employee culture of an automotive retail environment. And you are someone who has, by nature and nurture, have been gifted with the ability to lead and also just educate yourself on the ongoing natures of leading individuals. So I thought the first question to understand you a little bit more would be if you can perhaps name some of the individuals who have been influential to you in your personal and professional development.
Yeah, I appreciate that question, Dennis. When I think about, personally, there's a couple of people that are, near and dear to my heart, and that's my dad and my uncle. Both of them taught me, great qualities growing up. A little bit of a personal story about me is that my uncle worked for Del Monte. I grew up in the Midwest, and he was able to get me on in high school with Del Monte, driving a combine, picking peas, and I did that from 3 p.m. till 3 a.m, 7 days a week. And the lessons that I learned working with him, from a work ethic to quality to his positive attitude, has had a great impression on me throughout my career, as well as many of the great things that my father taught me as well during his 40-year career at General Electric. But as you mentioned, I also spend a lot of time thinking about leadership, studying leadership, and trying to develop my own leadership capabilities. And there's a lot of great people out there to learn from and to follow. But for the top people that I have focused on over the past years includes Andy Stanley, a great communicator of Atlanta, Jim Collins, the famous author, John Maxwell, who has written, you know, over 20 books on leadership, and then Jocko Willink, who was a great leader as a Navy SEAL and has now written some incredible leadership books. So those are just four of the people that I've really tried to immerse myself with and go really deep in understanding what's made them successful and what are the key, you know, attributes of a strong leader.
Yeah, you know, one of those people that you had mentioned there, I'm a very big fan of and didn't realize how much of a fan I was until I started revisiting some of his content, and that was Jim Collins. He gave a keynote for the Peter Drucker School of Management, I believe it was. And one of the things he had mentioned on there was that, you know, this idea that leadership is this hierarchy of characteristics and competency, where you're at the very base level, it's all about individual capabilities, and at the highest level, then it's of humility. And certainly, as you've mentioned, especially guys like Jim Collins and Andy Stanley, they definitely kind of embody that level of humility that I see. Maybe tell me about how somebody like a Jim Collins, you know, what are some of the leadership takeaways that would be relevant to dealer executives right now?
Yes, I mean, I'm a big fan of Jim's as well. I've had the opportunity to hear him speak. He wrote a book called Great by Choice that he spoke on one day, and I've actually taken many of his comments and spoken on those as well. Some really great principles in that book. But a couple of things that he talks about in multiple books, including Good to Great, et cetera, is, you know, first and foremost, as leaders, it's our responsibility to build strong teams and to have the right people and what he calls the right seat on the bus or in the right position. And when I think about, and something that I literally think about on a daily basis with my team, which is having that person in the right position where they can excel. And to me, that's a couple things. Number one, do they embody the leadership qualities that I believe are the most important? Number two, do they have the skill set to do that? And number three, are they passionate about that role? Because there's a lot of people out there that have the skill set but don't have the passion. But when you combine those two together, you really get a opportunity where 1 + 1 = 3, so that people can really do their best work and can really excel. The other thing that Jim is famous for that my team would tell you that I think about on a daily basis is this concept of the flywheel. And so, you know, you push the flywheel and it goes a few inches, and then you muster up some strength and you push it again and it goes a little bit further. But really, when you have an operation working well, you're able to push that flywheel and it really can spin on its own. And it ties into two of the words that I care the most about in leadership, which is momentum and engagement. And so this idea of the flywheel, putting our strength behind it, getting it spinning, and creating that momentum for our organization, because at all times we're either, we have positive momentum or negative momentum. And then the engagement that we have with our employees is critical to our success as an organization.
On one hand, I see that as somewhat difficult in these times, especially with regards to a new workforce that's coming in, especially in the automotive retailing world, to, you know, that of millennials? How would you see that this kind of flywheel concept and especially the engagement could be better suited in this new workforce that's coming?
I think that starts with a couple of areas, Dennis. I mean, first and foremost, the first step that we have to take as leaders is to hire the right person. And so whether they're millennials or, you know, born in a different generation, we really need to understand the key attributes that we're looking for in the employee. And I really encourage, I really encourage the people on this podcast to think about what are those key attributes that you want in your employees and your managers. And then from there, I think it's really about studying success. Dennis, so many times when something is broken, what do? We dissect it, we take it apart, we study it, and rightfully so, we should do that because we need to make it better. But what we don't do a lot of times is that when something's being very successful, we don't study that. And so when we've seen those best salespeople, what's making them successful? Is it their competitiveness? Is it their coachability? And so really understanding that and interviewing for and identifying those people will really help us, again, whether it's millennials, you know, Gen X, Gen Y, et cetera, get the right people into the organization. And then from there, it's really understanding what motivates them. And specifically on millennials, they care very much about the why. Why are we doing something? And so it's not only what are we doing, but giving them the why behind that, that can create that motivation and help accelerate that flywheel that we're talking about.
You know, that the whole idea of studying success, I can relate to that so much, especially I, you know, it's like without you mentioning that today, that is actually the journey that I've been on for probably the last few weeks now. And it does require some kind of intense, intense thinking about what it is that is making a particular product or service successful, because you do have to remove your ego out of that equation. Because a lot of times your ego wants to say, this particular episode is doing really well, and you almost are inflating what are the actual reasons for it doing well. So studying exactly the success, in my case, of an episode is very much kind of what I'm going through right now. So it's very interesting that you bring that up. And certainly a lot of times people are studying failures, but they're not studying the success.
Yeah, just to follow that, I think number one is that if you were to ask a lot of, you know, managers, leaders, you know, hey, tell me about a part of your organization that's being successful, they can tell you that. But then when you ask them the follow-up question, why is it being successful? They really struggle with that question. In fact, most leaders can struggle with that question of why it's being successful. And so this whole idea of us as leaders, we need to be responsible to orchestrate and then evaluate. So I think the best leaders do those two things over and over all the time, which is let's orchestrate what we're going to do. So for example, you know, in the dealership, how do we do the sales to service handoff to make sure that we get the consumer to service their car in our dealership after they buy it? But then let's evaluate that. And so as leaders, we have to be great listeners. We have to ask lots of questions. But we have to be great at evaluating the processes that we're orchestrating.
Andrew, when you speak about these things, there's so much that relates to just, you know, the methodologies of data science, and that's wonderful news to my ear. Along the lines of studying success, then, one of the other individuals you had mentioned is Andy Stanley, and he has this quote that states, "I have participated in every bad decision I have ever made." I'm hoping that maybe you can share how an Andy Stanley, how he's been able to influence your view on, you know, what the retail environment, you know, how the retail environment can be better improved.
You know, one thing that I've learned from Andy is, you know, he's great at asking questions, trying to understand what's going on from his team, and then he makes a decision. And we as leaders, when we make a decision and we make the wrong decision, the most important thing that we can do at that time is to own it. If we try to, you know, backpedal or, you know, push it off on someone else, we will lose our team. So it's actually something that he has very much in common with Jocko, which is, you know, under Extreme Ownership, that we as leaders, we have to be able to make mistakes. And if they're the wrong mistakes, we have to own them. And if they're the right mistakes, give all of the credit to our teams. And that formula right there is a huge step in helping us become strong leaders. You know, Andy has also identified key qualities and characteristics that are important as leaders. And they are clarity, courage, competency, coachability, and character. And the one that our teams crave from us as leaders is clarity. People will follow leaders that provide vision and provide clarity to the situation, that it may be somewhat chaotic at the time. There may not be a lot of certainty at the time, but that we have clarity into where we're going and how we're going to solve that. That's what people want to follow. So as opposed to just being a leader, we want to be a leader that people want to follow, and clarity is the attributes that helps us do that.
You know, Andrew, on that end, I'm curious then, how can this role of clarity help provide, you know, this consistency in a dealership environment where you do have employees who may be, you know, essentially a GM or GSM, but a year later they may find themselves as a finance manager. And so they essentially would be quote unquote demoted to a lower position. How does someone like that still maintain clarity?
You know, I think a major theme that we ought to discuss throughout this podcast, Dennis, is that everything rises and falls on leadership. And so if you have that situation as the, you know, whether that's the general manager of the store, the dealer principal, the person that everyone ultimately reports up to, we have to keep in mind that everything rises and falls on leadership. And so, you know, if in this case it was a difficult decision, something that wasn't received well by the employee, it's important that the employee is getting regular feedback. So the first time you're not having that discussion is the day that you inform them and make that decision. We've seen tremendous value, and I'm a huge believer in the importance of one-on-ones. And so if we as leaders are having one-on-ones with our team, giving them that continuous feedback, what they're doing well, what they need to work on, when these decisions have to be made, it's handled and received significantly better in that environment. And then, you know, I think that there's two keys that actually Andy talks about in building strong teams, which is number one, hire people that are great at execution. Hire people that are great at getting things done, and then give them the what, the why, and the how behind what you're trying to accomplish. So when we think about clarity, that person changing jobs, that person going into the finance department, we still have to be able to give them the what, the why, and the how about how they fit in and have an impact on what the overall organization is trying to accomplish.
Oh, wonderful. That's amazing. You know, so obviously you tied in a natural progression with leadership to ownership, which then this does bring up the ever-powerful Jocko Willink and not only his book, but his general persona. I'm hoping maybe how do you or what is it about Jocko and his view of ownership that applies to leadership qualities that are either exist or do not exist in an automotive retail environment?
First of all, I would share with everyone listening, if you will consistently listen to Andy Stanley and Jocko, you will be a better leader. So if you don't take anything else away from this podcast, if I can just encourage you to follow Andy and Jocko, you will be a better leader. But I personally just love his book, Extreme Ownership. I've given away a couple hundred copies to customers in the past 6 months. And, you know, Jocko has a lot of great themes, but let me just hit on a couple of them. Number one is this idea that we just touched on, which is, you know, Jocko was over in Iraq. He was leading SEAL Team 2 and responsible for removing insurgents from Iraq, and it didn't go very well. And he got called back to the Pentagon, and, you know, he could have blamed it on other people. There were obviously a lot of people involved in what happened. And had he done that, he feels like he probably would have gotten fired. But he walked into the room with, you know, all of the commanders and generals, and he's like, guys, it's all on me. It was my fault. I take responsibility. You know, no one else is to blame than me. And he and everyone understood, and they supported him, and he went off to have, you know, tremendous success after that. So as we just touched on, this critically important element of leadership is to own, you know, when something doesn't go well. He also has this concept, which I absolutely love. And I think that everyone listening, if you think about it and apply it to your personal lives, to your dealerships, which is this idea that discipline equals freedom. And the more disciplined we are in our lives, the more freedom that we have. So, you know, Jocko's a guy who gets up at 4:45 every morning. He works out for an hour and a half, et cetera, like incredible discipline. But if we have that, just think about that in our personal lives, the way that we eat, the way that we exercise. You know, when our child wants to go out and do a, you know, a couple mile hike or whatever, if we are had enough discipline to be in good enough shape, wow, what a great outcome. You get to go spend time with your child. So I would encourage the people listening to this podcast to think about different areas in their life that they need to be more disciplined in, which in return will give you tremendous freedom in your dealerships and in your you know, in your life, personal lives.
And, you know, this idea too of discipline and freedom, this is not, these are not easy decisions or an easy way to go about life either. That, you know, the idea of discipline does require some sacrifice. Obviously, as you pointed out, in the case of Jocko, he wakes up at 4:30 in the morning. I mean, that is very early. There's sacrifices that he's making in order to make that happen. You know, the other thing that you had mentioned with regards to Jocko, the example of him taking ownership of that insurgency that went awry, you know, the other part of that scenario was, you know, all the Navy SEALs he was in charge of, at some point, they also took ownership themselves and taking blame, so that essentially almost Jocko didn't have to take the blame himself. I'm reminded in, you know, pardon me, in a retail environment, it's a much different scenario in war than retail. And in a retail environment, I can attest that it is often difficult for a lot of the sales professionals to accept ownership, so that as it trickles up to the general manager can just know that, wow, everyone here has taken some form of ownership. So at the end of the day, this does fall on me. How do you see, you know, your service advisors and sales professionals and technicians who can adopt this mindset of taking ownership themselves?
So I think that if we as leaders, you know, take responsibility, one of the military concepts that I've been taught, Dennis, is this idea of, you know, brief, execute, and debrief. And so We had a bunch of F-16 pilots come in and speak with us, and they said that when they go on a mission, they get in a room and they discuss the mission in detail. They plan every aspect of it. Then they go out and they execute the mission, but then they, probably the most important part, is they come back to that same room and the captain and the major and the colonel who just went out and executed that mission, they take all of their stripes off and they set them on the table, and they call this nameless and rankless. So I, as a captain, can give feedback to the colonel, because that's the only way that we're going to get better. And so we have to have a culture mindset where we can give each other feedback. You know, after this podcast, I'm going to ask my team who listened to it, hey, what could have I done better? That's how I'm going to get better as a communicator for future, you know, speaking engagements. And so we have to have the mindset within the store, whether you're the, you know, the technician or the salesperson, in order to receive that feedback and to be able to give honest and direct feedback to each other. If I could, Dennis, if I could tell one quick Jocko story, which is one of my favorite stories.
Please.
Which is this, early in the book, he's got a chapter called There's No Bad Teams, There's Only Bad Leaders. And so they go through Navy SEAL school, they get to the last week, which they call Hell Week, and they're going, you know, doing tremendous amount of activity and exercises for like six straight days, little to no sleep. And on one of the last nights, they've got all the teams of SEALs lined up on the beach. And in teams of seven, they're to pick up the gray inflatable boats that we see them with, pick them up, run across the beach, row out to the buoy, around the buoy, back to the beach, pick it up and run across and set their boat down. And this is happening all night long. And team two is winning first place in every race. Team six is getting last place in every race. So you can imagine how that's going over with the commanders, right? Team two is getting a little extra privilege, but they're extremely upset with team six and, you know, what's going on with these guys, et cetera. Well, someone comes up with the idea, let's switch out the leader of boat two with the leader of boat six. Now, you would expect to think, well, over time, they started to show improvement. But what Jocko shares is that in the very next race, team six with the leader from the boat two came in first place. And what that leader did was he didn't get in the boat and say, let's win the race. He said, let's be the first one to pick up the boat. Let's be the first one off the beach. Let's be the first one to the buoy. And so he broke all the goals down into bite-sized goals and made them attainable. And in the very next race, they won. So this idea of there's no bad team, no bad leaders has really resonated with me. And I think it's something for all of us listening to this podcast to think about and how we run our organizations.
I mean, Andrew, this is, there's a consistency that I'm seeing here. And a lot of that kind of boils back down to this idea of not just studying the failure, but studying success, right? These little wins, it's another example of a technique that can be used to improve ownership within your organization. And it hence also demonstrates that there is leadership, that well leader, you know, really, really good informed leadership that's coming down from the top all the way down.
And I think it starts with a mindset shift, you know, where, you know, some people would say, you know, well, how are you as a manager? I think we need to shift the idea from being a manager to being a leader. And, you know, there's a very distinct difference between the two. You know, leaders direct, give guidance, and want to be followed. And so that's what we want as leaders from our team, you know, which I think is critically important to our success.
So, Andrew, John Maxwell, I would almost consider the grandfather of this group. He's been in the leadership game for probably longer than most other folks here. Maybe share with me, what are some of the takeaways from John Maxwell and how it applies to leadership within a dealership environment?
Yes, I have a ton of admiration from John. He's created a great organization and helped leaders grow in their careers. And a couple of things really stick out for me with John as I read his books. Number one is that he believes in growth over goals. So the idea there is that we set goals and we try to achieve them. But if we grow as leaders and we grow our teams, we're going to have a higher probability of achieving those goals. So I think really it's been an aha moment for me. A light went on, many years back, that I need to have a personal growth plan. And it's something that John advocates for all of us. And I would advocate for everyone listening to this podcast, that if you don't have a personal growth plan, to develop one. And John has a quote that says, if a person will spend 1 hour per day on a subject for 5 years, they will become an expert. And so most of the people listening to this podcast are probably leaders. We want to be great at what we do. And so spending time studying leadership will help us accomplish that. And one of his recommendations for our personal growth plan is to, number one, read a book every month. I would even encourage us to try to read 2 to 3 books every month. The average CEO in this country reads 32 books a year. So I would look at reading 1 to 2 books a month. And then hopefully, I'm sure listening to yours, along with a few others, listening to a couple of podcasts every week. I think most of the good ideas that I have, I probably have generated from someone else. But that's the key, is what can we learn from other people and apply them to ourselves? Not all great ideas have to originate with us. And so, just like you're trying to help us all be educated with your podcast, we need to take that responsibility through, through books, through articles, et cetera, to grow as leaders. And I wholeheartedly can tell you and know that your organizations will benefit from this. I, for example, have hired a corporate coach for my direct reports and my regional managers, and my inbox is flooded with comments of how it's helping them and their teams perform better and achieve more based upon the investment that we're making in them.
It's fantastic. You got to love when a C-level executive understands that he cannot or she cannot achieve everything himself or herself, and it is smart to hire other individuals that can help the overall team, help the overall organization achieve the results that are needed. So kudos to you, Andrew, for being aware of a situation like that and doing something about it too. Andrew, this is this has been chicken soup for the soul here, sir. What are some final thoughts that you can impart to our listeners?
Yeah, I would say that we've all been given a great opportunity and a responsibility as leaders. And it's our job to invest in our teams and help them achieve their goals. And by doing so, the overall organization will be successful. And I think the last topic that we discussed on a personal growth plan, if the people listening to this call or listening to this webcast, you're obviously doing some of this because you're listening to this webcast, but I would encourage you to have a formalized plan, and it will significantly move the needle for you and your teams. And these are the values that we really hold on to tightly here at Automotive Mastermind, and something that we feel like we can point to directly that's tied to our success. And I know that they will make you successful as well.
listeners, I will put his information on the episode page. Andrew, is there any upcoming events that people will be able to also, you know, meet the face behind this voice, this beautiful, soft, motivating voice?
Well, you know, I'm in the field meeting with customers every week, Dennis. I probably have met with over 100 customers and prospects in the past year. So, you know, would love, if you're interested in spending some time having a discussion on leadership, et cetera, feel free to reach out. I would love to be in touch when I'm in your area. And then, you know, we've got some upcoming conferences. Obviously, many of us are going to NADA next February, and would love to have you stop by the booth and, you know, get you a coffee or whatever and discuss this topic that is near and dear to all of our hearts.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, listeners, thanks for tuning into this episode of Wisco Weekly. Tune in next time as we end every episode. Cheers. Prost. L'chaim. Kipis. Nastravi. Salu. Kampai. Mabruk. Tutsin. Gambe. Yamas. Nastorovie. To the customer experience. Listeners, did you enjoy that episode? Don't forget, on the episode page, if you want to learn more about how dealership management can become better leaders, download the white paper that's available on the episode page. A big thank you to Mr. Andrew Raines for being on the show. Tune in next week as we celebrate our 100th episode.